Hello, I'm Pauline Goldsworthy, and on this part of Chatterbox, Mike Hutchinson and I will have more news stories, our weekly information desk, and our second feature. But we begin with more news from round and about Norwich. Norwich has been regarded as a premier shopping destination in the UK for many years, and the past few months have seen great changes taking place in the city centre.
Norwich's Westlegate has seen a few changes over the decades, but old and new combined, when the completion of the multi-million pound project to pedestrianise the city centre street harked back to when a river flowed through the area. Work started back in January 2016 and has culminated in traffic being banned from Westlegate and All Saints Street, with more work to follow in All Saints Green. For anyone still scratching their heads over what the blue glass blocks which snake down the street are all about, the unveiling of a plaque has revealed all. The plaque informs passers-by that a river flows beneath your feet, and the blue line marks where the River Cocky once flowed through the street. It goes on to say that the Great Cocky is one of Norwich's lost rivers, with others including the Muspole, the Dalymond, and the Fresh Fleet. Norwich photographer and history enthusiast Nick Stone wrote about the lost rivers on his blog at www.invisibleworks.co.uk and said there was also a little cocky rising somewhere near Chapel Field and flowing across St Giles and Bethel Street, down towards St Benedict's and into the River Wensum near Dyer's Yard. Martin Wilby, chairman of Norfolk County Council's Environment, Development and Transport Committee, said he was pleased the plaque in Westlegate would recall the days when a river ran through it. He said, "It's lovely to think the stream is still there and it's not been forgotten." Mike Stonard, Cabinet Member for Sustainable and Inclusive Growth, said, "It's made it a much more pleasant place for people to visit and browse and stay."
The transformation of All Saints Green is continuing, with a new 244-bed student complex taking shape where Mecca Bingo once stood. Alumno Developments is constructing the 13-storey building, which will be known as The Quad, at the site of the former bingo club and cinema. Work has already started, but tomorrow we'll see an official groundbreaking event to mark the beginning of construction. David Campbell, Managing Director of Alumno, said, "We're delighted to be working in Norwich again, where there is strong demand for modern, purpose-built student accommodation in the city centre. The Quad will provide much-needed services and facilities for students in a single, well-managed building. This offers an alternative to students taking up space in the local housing stock and will encourage a new community to enjoy life in this vibrant city."
Castle Mall Shopping Centre is set for a new look and a host of new ideas as a boss with a bold vision moves in. The centre, which is almost 25 years old, could host festivals, more events for families, and set up links with colleges and local organisations in a bid to breathe new life into it. Operations manager Robert Bradley, who is back working at the Mall after 8 years having worked at the St John's Shopping Centre in Liverpool, wants the Mall to move away from just being a retail centre. He thinks his experience in Liverpool stands him in good stead. "Mr Bradley said, I learnt a great deal, and now I'm looking to use it here. I have a large amount of faith in Norwich as a place. The Castle Mall is a shopping centre, and I believe it can be a huge success, otherwise I wouldn't be coming back." He added, "The landlord is in discussion with the use of the Castle Mall for various different reasons. We're reaching out to universities and to the colleges, local organisations, to music festivals, and trying to engage with those." He said it was about engaging with different members of the community to give people another reason to come to Castle Mall. More news stories will follow shortly, but now it's time for our weekly information desk.
Some of our listeners must have been receiving a lot of letters, as this week we've been given lots of stamps. Thank you, Mrs. Daphne Dennis, Mrs. Ina Arnold, Bob's Beer, and Mrs. Vivian Bygrave for all the stamps. We will send them on to the NNAB. We are sorry, Mrs. Lucy Wilkinson, that you have not been receiving your weekly recordings, or have been receiving them very late. We have checked everything at this end, such as the address and postcode on your address labels, but couldn't find anything amiss. Unfortunately, we do not have any control of what happens to the wallets once they have left our building. That is in the hands of the post office. I hope you receive this week's recording on time, but do say if you have any further problems. Thank you, Mrs. Bessie Bremner, for your comments on the article about strange smells coming from the sugar beet factory. Bessie said that, as a child, she lived close to the sugar beet factory in Peterborough, and that sometimes the smell was so bad that people had to shut all their windows.
If you're interested in arts and crafts, including basket weaving, textiles, clay work, painting, sculpture, paper mache, or anything else that you would like to try, then go along on Wednesdays between 10 and 1 or Thursdays between 10 and 4:30 and give it a go. The sessions cost £3. For more information, which we hope will include where these sessions are, contact Mark or Elaine on 01603 629 558. The Wednesday class has spaces, and Mark asked us to say that if you don't use it, you will lose it. So please go along and discover what you can do.
Have you got something to say? Have you ever felt the urge to write? Come and join others with the same interests and work together to reveal your inner voice. The NNAB runs a group that will give you the opportunity to express yourself through the written word, whatever your vision problems. The club meets between 2 and 4pm on the third Tuesday of the month at the NNAB Bradbury Centre, and the cost is £3. Their next meeting is on the 18th of July. To find out more, please call Mark or Elaine on 01603 629 558 or email marksmith at nnab.org.uk.
The NNAB have asked us to mention the TAT Tablets and Telephone drop-in sessions. Unfortunately, they haven't been as well attended as expected, and it is with great reluctance that they're having to wind them up. They have been supported by two wonderful volunteers, Craig and Carl, who made sure that any questions that came their way were answered and people could use their devices to the best effect. Just because the formal sessions are finished, it doesn't mean that the NNAB are not offering support for people who need it. They can demonstrate features, train on specific techniques, and advise on purchases. You just need to get in touch with Edward at the Norwich Equipment Centre on 01603 629 558 or email edbates at nnab.org.uk.
And speaking of tablets, the NHS are concerned over the number of prescriptions that are issued each year and remain unused. They're starting a campaign to cut down on waste, which costs about £4.7 million each year in Norfolk and Waveney alone. The campaign is called Your Medicines, Your NHS, and urges us all to only order those medicines we need, and also to open the bag at the pharmacy counter to check that we have the correct items. Any items taken from the pharmacy and not used, even if unopened, cannot be reused in compliance with Department of Health regulations. Following this advice is a very easy way of reducing NHS costs and will make a significant difference. Very shortly we will have our second feature, but until then we have news of the ongoing saga of the Holmes Park tennis courts. Norwich is applauded for its Christmas campaign, and a Norwich architect lands a plum job. But we start with a farewell to a local pub landlord, and we reveal Kathleen's secret of life.
The landlord of a Norwich pub is to call time on 38 years behind the bar. David Turnbull took over the Blue Boar in Sprowston in March 1979, one of only three landlords the pub has had in the century, and is due to leave in the next few weeks. Mr. Turnbull said, In about 100 years, the Blue Boar has had just 3 landlords. That should be a world record. The pub has done so well, and you really get a lot from it. He said he would take plenty of good memories with him. My best moments have been the amazing number of beautiful people who work for me and all the friendships. We're in the centre of the community and we're the only pub left in Sprowston. This many years on, I still look forward to going into work. And the punters have always kept him on their toes, he said. The weirdest moment for me was finding a woman locked in our toilets. We received a phone call from the police saying that she couldn't get out. She'd had too much to drink, and the police were holding her hand through the window. She tried to get on with the policeman, so they asked me to go in and get her out. She was a B&B guest, so I took her upstairs, and she tried to get on with me, just like the policeman. There have been a lot of changes under Mr. Turnbull's management since he took over the pub in 1979. He fitted the kitchen, extended the pub, added new bedrooms, and landscaped the garden. He added that there will be a lot of things he will miss once he leaves. I'll miss the people and my team. I won't miss the customers too much because I can just jump on the number 11 bus to keep in contact and stop for lunch. Following his retirement, Mr. Turnbull said he was looking forward to taking a year out travelling with his wife.
There's a pretty simple secret to long living for Kathleen Attill, a glass of her favourite Bell's whiskey. She celebrated her 104th birthday on Monday and has been drinking the whiskey on a daily basis for more than 80 years. Miss Attill lives at St Clement's Nursing Home in Norwich. Maria Matthew, who works at the nursing home, said, "Kathleen came here 9 years ago and has now been here longer than any of our other residents. She's a very happy person and loves her whiskey and is very particular about the brand. When the shop had sold out of Bell's one time and I got her another make, she took one sip and told me, 'This is not my brand.' To mark her milestone, she received a congratulatory letter and certificate from Bell's Whiskey and a large bouquet of flowers."
A controversial bid to replace grass tennis courts in a Norwich park has been withdrawn and will be superseded by a revised scheme. But council bosses say the current courts will still have to be shut to save money. Norwich City Council made an application to its own planning committee to replace the Higham Park tennis courts with 3 all-weather tennis courts, linked to funding from the Lawn Tennis Association. But the application garnered some 60 objections, including the Gardens Trust, who said the application did not respect the historic status of a Grade 2 listed park, which was designed in the 1920s and 30s by Captain Sandys Winch. The application has been withdrawn and a fresh one will be submitted. Roger Ryan, the City Council's Cabinet Member for Health and Wellbeing, said, "We've listened to the objections and the constructive feedback received and we are aiming to submit a new, revised application for 3 all-weather courts shortly. As there is a major shortfall in the money it costs to maintain the grass courts at Higham Park, the revenue received, they will have to need to close at the end of the season."
The team behind Norwich's Tunnel of Light has been named the best in the country for its Christmas campaign and wider work to promote the city centre as a place for shopping, tourism and business. The double recognition for Norwich Business Improvement District, that's BID, comes as voting begins on a new 5-year term for the organisation and an extension of the area it controls. It was named the winner of Campaign of the Year for its festive promotion in 2016. As well as Bid of the Year at awards run by the Association of Town and City Management. Its Christmas in Norwich campaign last year included the 47-foot long Tunnel of Light, a UK first which replicated the movements of the Northern Lights and became a favourite with selfie lovers, while 280-foot projections transformed Norwich Castle and City Hall. The tunnel included more than 57,000 LED lights and 5.6 miles of cabling and over its 7 weeks on Hay Hill, it drove a 2.5% increase in city centre footfall and attracted 10,000 people on its first night. Stephen Gurney, Executive Director of Norwich BID, said, "This is absolutely fantastic news, and it is testament to all the hard work the BID team did in making our projects a reality for Norwich. The Tunnel of Light was absolutely stunning and became a national talking point, resulting in over 1 million BBC Facebook views and a marketing PR campaign which reached over 10 million people."
The Norwich architect entrusted to deliver the restoration of the city's Norman Castle Keep has described the job as a once-in-a-career opportunity. The multi-million pound project aims to restore the building's original layout of nearly 1,000 years ago and transform the castle into the premier heritage and tourism destination in East Anglia. It will be led by Norfolk-based heritage architects Fielden and Mawson, under the guidance of the partner Hugh Fielden, whose previous work includes London's Royal Palaces, the Palace of Westminster, and the Treasury in Whitehall. It's quite a remarkable honour to have worked on major projects on both the castle and the cathedral, which were built at the same time, and are thought likely to have been designed by the same master mason, he said. The project will reinstate the correct floor level and the room layout within the former palace castle, while the Great Hall will be recreated and its history brought back to life. Norfolk Museum Service has been awarded initial support by the Heritage Lottery Fund for a £9.2 million lottery grant, along with funding of £462,000 to bring forward plans ahead to a full grant application being made.
A Norwich teaching assistant is planning to shave off all of her hair to raise money for a cancer charity. Standing in solidarity with other cancer victims, Tina Rawlinson will brave the shave next month in support of Macmillan Cancer Support. The 35-year-old, who works at the Hall School in St Faith's Road, Old Catton, said she made the decision to support people living with and survivors of cancer after seeing colleagues and her best friend suffer from the disease. Miss Rawlinson from Hercules Road, Helsdon, said after losing loved ones to cancer, she had seen how it can strip a person of their dignity, control, confidence, and ultimately self-esteem and identity. She said, "I have been raising money for Macmillan for a while. Hair is such a big thing around your treatment. For many of us, our hair defines who we are. When you lose your hair, you are, in a way, laying yourself bare. There is nowhere to hide." Miss Rawlinson added, "I'm nervous as to what I will look like without hair, but it will be a way of showing support to cancer victims. The head shave will take place on July the 10th at the Hall School."
The past few months have seen traffic initiatives aplenty in the city, creating cycleways and traffic-free areas. Paul Burrell, Vice Chair of the Norwich Society, in the evening news series In My View, is concerned with the increasing pedestrianisation of Norwich. And for our second feature this week, his words are read for us by Anne Gretton.